Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Be advised. For Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. The Brain Massage Show radiates the mind with truth, releasing thought antibodies that attack and destroy lies. Stay tuned. The Brain Masseur is ready to massage your brain.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur extraordinaire. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
There is tragic irony in the fact that Congresswoman Gabriella Giffords, conservative Democrat, to the chagrin of her more liberal colleagues on the left, participated in the reading of the Constitution on the House floor January 6, 2011, and with a dignity befitting the solemn event, she read the Grand First Amendment. And then, only 2 days later, on January 8, 2011, she was shot while leading an exercise that involved at least three of the specific rights delineated in that amendment. Freedom of peaceful assembly, freedom of speech, and the freedom to redress government for grievances. Irony, but not conspiracy. Katrina Vandenuvel, editor and publisher of The Nation and columnist for The Washington Post, elevated the evil tragedy of January 8th to an assassination attempt on democracy. Quote, "This was an assassination on democracy, an armed assault on citizens gathered to exercise the most precious of American rights," end quote, she wrote. She goes a bit far, don't you think? Did Jared Lee Loeffner assassinate democracy? Vandenuvel does not even allow that he made the effort. She asserts that he succeeded, it seems. Not an assassination attempt, but, quote, an assassination of democracy, end quote. Okay, so she's guilty of overstatement. But did Loeffner intend to attack democracy? Was this an attack on democracy, or was this lunatic governed by some other spirit? Was he a pawn under the control of a greater evil that does desire to use men like this to break the back of democracy in America and in the world? Now, I disagree with the idea that Loeffner assassinated democracy. Democracy will survive this evil. Nor am I convinced that Loeffner had anything of the kind in his mind. Nevertheless, Vandenuvel raises an interesting question. Are such evils ultimately an attack on democracy? Or rather, shall we say, freedom? Have you noticed how the reaction to this horror tends in that direction? Have you noticed that almost all of the reaction to this event is aimed at freedom? Not at the perpetrator, but at freedom. In one way or another, this event is being used to attack freedom. In fact, in some ways, freedom is being blamed for it. Listen, one of the freedoms being attacked is one particularly cherished by Americans, one that is guaranteed in the First Amendment, the amendment read by Gifford on the House floor only 2 days before she was shot. And that is the freedom of speech. The shooting of Giffords, together with the six others shot and killed, and the 13 others who were wounded, is being used by some to say the freedom of speech should be restricted. They say conservative rhetoric is to blame for the shooting. They name names: Palin, Rush, Savage, Levin. Some names are conspicuously missing: Mayer, Olbermann, Matthews. The MSM, mostly stupid media, generally, are aiming their attacks at freedom. And yet they are the worst offenders. Isn't it incendiary? Isn't it an outrageous example of hate speech for these people to blame conservatives for the murder of those six victims and the shooting of Giffords and the other victims? You can't get more hateful than to take a tragedy like this and then blame people for it who obviously had nothing to do with it. Sarah Palin's blood libel remark was right on. Not one conservative attempted to blame any liberal for this atrocity because, you see, conservatives think rationally, dispassionately, and reasonably. It's obvious who shot Giffords. His name is Jared Loeffner. Why are progressives so focused on getting the public to believe conservatives, you know, using commonplace rhetorical metaphors to express their ideas, creates an environment that compels people like Loeffner to commit acts of murder and mayhem? I mean, it's a legitimate question. especially when you consider that they do it all the time, and in fact, they are the most egregious offenders. Let's begin with a talk show host from Philly, E. Stevens Collins. He's on with Tingle Legs Matthews on MSNBC to discuss the role of rhetoric in all of this. Now, listen to this. Collins says there is a, quote, direct relationship, end quote, between Sarah Palin putting crosshairs on her website over Giffords District and the murder of, quote, that little girl who went down to meet the congresswoman, end quote. The fact that he says this in a relatively calm voice only underlines how scary this kind of hatred is. Those who hide hatred behind lying lips. Huh? He is saying that Sarah Palin is responsible for murdering this little girl. You can't get more hateful than that. If that is not a hateful use of rhetoric to attack a political enemy, I don't know what is. He was not corrected by Matthews, by the way. Matthews let this blow by. And I'm telling you, until the progressives get honest about this hate speech accusation they're always throwing around and admit they practice it day in and day out, well, my friend, they have no credibility. And more important, it compels us to wonder, what is this really all about? I mean, it's obviously not about any real concern they have with so-called incendiary rhetoric, because they give themselves a pass on it and attempt to make it out that only the conservatives engage in that kind of exercise in free speech. Now, hold on. Let's look at this a moment. How about Matthews? Do you remember him openly fantasizing about the death of Rush Limbaugh? You know, with that characteristic sarcasm of his, quote, somebody's going to jam a CO2 pellet into his head and he's going to explode like a giant blimp, end quote. What's that about? That's not hate speech? Or another MSNBC host, Ed Schultz, who wished for Dick Cheney's death. He said, quote, Dick Cheney's heart is the political football. And then he went on, quote, we ought to rip it out and kick it around and stuff it back in him, end quote. When have you ever heard a conservative talk like that? Oh, and here you go, about Rush Limbaugh. Ed Schultz of MSNBC's The Ed Show said, quote, I'm waiting for the day when I pick up a newspaper or click on the internet and find out Limbaugh's choked to death on his own throat fat, or a great big wad of saliva or something, you know, whatever. Go away, Rush, you make me sick, end quote. Now, are you hearing this? Now, some of my listeners don't really follow those guys very much, but you need to know the kind of rhetoric they use. You don't remember Montel Williams urging Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann to kill herself? I'll never forget sitting in, I was stunned as I watched Montel say this. Montel was talking about Michelle Bachmann, and he said, quote, slit your wrist. Go ahead. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, if you want to, or, you know, do us all a better thing, move the knife up about 2 feet. I mean, start right at the collarbone, end quote. And this is never mentioned when they cry about hate speech. Hey, progressive, do you really want to go there? I mean, are you really so dull? You don't know that we've been listening to you for years doing this kind of thing, accusing conservatives of wanting to starve grandma? You don't think that's hate mongering? You don't think that's, quote, creating a hostile environment, end quote, for conservatives and their families? Come on, get real. Now, Bill Mayer is one of the most egregious offenders of what you progressives are trying to pin on conservatives. I mean, the hypocrisy is flabbergasting. HBO's Mayer, he's a favorite with CNN. You don't remember him openly wishing for the death of Limbaugh and of Cheney? Then Vice President Cheney visiting Afghanistan. And while there, near where he was, Al-Qaeda exploded a truck bomb. Commenting on this, Mayer said he wished it had killed Cheney. Remember when that miserable character, Heath Ledger, killed himself by drug overdose? Mayer said, quote, why couldn't he, and he's speaking of Limbaugh, have coked from it instead of Heath Ledger, end quote. Mayer Mouth is practically the poster child for vicious hate-filled vitriol. He once wished Glenn Beck had been killed. He yucks it up with a butt on TV about Cheney's heart attack. He says he wants Obama to make Limbaugh, quote, explode like a bag of meat, end quote. He mockingly offers his own, quote, recovery plan, and here it is, legalize pot and execute 2 random rich, greedy pigs at the Super Bowl, end quote. That's Mayer. He jokes about Palin being shot as a reincarnated wolf. He mocks the death of Ann Coulter's dad and expresses disappointment that the assassination attempt on Cheney failed. And this man, Mayer, recently on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, accused conservatives of wanting to kill people. And he based it on what he considered to be their hate speech. Can you believe this, man? How self-blind can you be? Are you ready for what he considers hate speech that proves conservatives want to kill people? Here are the samples he gave and compare them to his own statements. In a political rally context, Palin said, don't retreat, reload. end quote. And Michelle Bachmann's comments that she wants Minnesotans, quote, armed and dangerous, end quote. Let's throw in Palin's use of crosshairs, by the way, to identify districts she has targeted for Republican takeover. Metaphors used to talk about political things. Is there anyone within the sound of my voice who does not see the outrageous hypocrisy of these people? These statements, even removed from their context, do not even come close to the vile, hate-filled sentiments expressed by this very same evil, self-deceived man. Bill Maher is a vile human being. And yet I would never, not in a million years, ever entertain a death wish in my heart for him. The remarks Maher put out there as evidence conservatives want to kill people are more in line with Obama's own challenging violent imagery. Remember him using the metaphors of using guns and knives in the rough and tumble of political battles? Oh, come on. Quote, if they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun, end quote. You don't remember that? I would say Obama's use of these metaphors in that speech in Philly is in the same vein of Palin's and Bachmann's use of similar rhetoric to stir their audiences while campaigning. The context makes it clear what is meant. Now, folks, think about this with me for a moment. Let me tell you a little something about my own use of sarcastic, satirical, and often pungent rhetoric to make my point about these characters. First, I never expressed a wish for anyone to be hurt, much less to be dead. I never gratuitously use someone's sickness or disability or the sickness of their parents or loved ones to shame them or in some other way they could point. Second, I always carefully explain the relationship between the metaphor I'm using and the political character I'm illustrating. Or in other words, it's never really personal. When those guys get personal. Third, and this will surprise my newer listeners who have not been with me from the beginning of my public radio work, I started using my own unique approach as a response to the liberals I was hearing do this sort of thing with nobody holding them to account for it. Now listen up. Oh yeah, when I started doing radio, I did not use the approach I'm using now. You want to know what motivated me to start using my approach? It was listening to the dangerously inciting incendiary rhetoric that was being used by the left against conservatives. And believe me, I thought long and hard about it. You see, Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert! The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. And the very next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Or in other words, there is a time to refrain from answering a fool according to his folly, and then there is a context or a time when it's appropriate to do so. Being, as I am aware, of the power of rhetoric to shape public opinion and to set the frame for political or theological debate, the power of rhetoric to influence public sentiment, I realized that what the left was doing was what goes down on high school campuses all over the country. On these high school campuses, you know how a certain clique forms that disdains those who are outside of it and develops a whole dictionary of jargon that they use to express their disdain, their scorn, and their, well, hatred for the outsiders. And unfortunately, this has the effect of motivating many who perhaps might be called weak-willed or simple-minded or shy or perhaps shallow types to buy into the snobbery of the campus elites so they can be accepted in the in-crowd. So they can sing, I'm in with the in-crowd. And I realized that it was time for people to stand up against the elitist snobs and throw it right back into their own snotty faces. To show those who are easily influenced by such conceits that there is a strong man outside the campus elitists who is not afraid of them and willing to stand up to them and give them a taste of their own. Someone willing to answer the fool according to his folly, exposing their empty, shallow, superficial self-conceit. Someone willing to, Bible thump alert, rhetorically speaking, smite the scorner that the simple might beware. I realized that the common-sense traditional values crowd, being cowed by the liberal snobs, needed a champion who would hurl his rock at the seeming Goliath of political correctness and show just how weak and impotent liberalism really is. Now, I know many had taken in hand the task of revealing the superfluity of liberalism before me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm simply explaining my own decision to take off the gloves and engage these pretentious, self-conceited, snob characters with a high school or sophomoric mentality on their own ground. I, for one, would welcome the day progressives will admit to their egregious abuse of rhetoric and decide to engage in an honest, real conversation about the issues that divide us. But that's not likely to happen because they don't have arguments with substance. The leaders of this crowd know perfectly well what they are doing. And they have no intention of muzzling their own. And they use tragedies like January 8th to discourage public dissent against their political agenda. They are not concerned about what they call hate speech. They engage in it relentlessly and ruthlessly, and they resent guys like me and others entering into the arena. So you see, I believe at a certain level, among the elitist snobs on the left, and there are such on the right as well, you know, like the Republican blue blood snobs who don't want Christians in their party, but on a certain level, the left power circle wants to convert America into a socialist state. They are statist, and they are snobbish, and they want government under their control, and they want to manipulate such tragedies to serve their goal to control speech. It's not about hate speech, it's about controlled speech. And that's the bottom line. And so you see, the Giffords shooting is being used by these characters as a tool to assault liberty. They attack free speech. And you must not let them trick you into falling for that. They are also attempting to use this to assault our Second Amendment rights. There are some among the elitist left-wing snobs who simply despise the Constitution, especially the First and Second Amendments, as evidenced, by the way, by their howling in opposition to the very good idea of reading the Constitution, something I believe ought to be done at the beginning of every new Congress. That's a great idea. Look at all the noise being made against our Second Amendment rights. Now, folks, I can see right now, I was going to go into this, but I'm not going to have time to do it. So, Lord willing, I will do a Second Amendment show next week that will blow your socks off. But now, I must take a short break. And hey, everybody who has bought the CD, Singing Psalms, has told me they're enjoying it very much. Some say they just absolutely love it. And why haven't some of you purchased a copy yet, huh? It's only $10. Actually, it's only $7. But I'm asking you to throw in another $3 to help out the Brain Massage Show. Come on. Give us a call and order your copy of Singing Psalm CD, or go to our website and buy the downloadable version. That's SantaMariaLighthouse.org, all one word, you know the drill. Click on the bookstore button and the menu along the top of the page under the lighthouse, and you know the routine if you've ever purchased anything online. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
The Psalms were intended to be sung. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample.
Search me, O God, and know.
Call 1-888-770-8000 and order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000, or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind man's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
The Psalms were intended to be sung. I've written melodies for several of the Psalms over the years and used them in personal and public worship. Many have asked for a CD of these, and finally, with the help of some friends, we were able to produce a very nice CD titled Singing Psalms, a nice gift idea, and a great way to support the cause. I'm asking for $10, which includes a $3 donation to the ministry. Here is a sample.
To the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Call call 1-888-770-8000 and order your copy today. That number is 1-888-770-8000 or go to our web bookstore at www.santamarialighthouse.org. That's www.santamarialighthouse.org.
Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberty. The progressives have decided to use the January 8th massacre as a tool to compromise our liberties in this country, and you'd better watch out. But you know what? They're not the only ones using this tragedy as a tool to take away our rights. I need to address this wicked crowd at the Westboro Church under the leadership of that fellow Phelps who wants to stage a protest at the funeral of that precious kid, that 9-year-old child who was shot to death on January 8th. You know, with his God hates you signs and... This needs to be addressed. And who better than moi? First, the facts. Westboro Baptist Church is rejected by every Baptist association or fellowship of churches throughout America, including ours. Baptists, you know, are the original non-denominationalists, meaning that the Baptist churches are not organized under any kind of controlling hierarchical organization, and each church is self-governing. Unlike some who boast they're non-denominational and yet control the use of the name of their church, by a certain church in Costa Mesa owning trademark or registration on it, so that in their case, if one of their churches goes rogue, they can legally forbid them to use the brand name. Baptists have no legal control over who uses the name. The pastor of Westboro Baptist Church is a fellow by the name of Fred Phelps. His church has become infamous for its public protests of soldiers' funerals in which members hold up signs that read, God hates America, and pray for more dead soldiers. Can you believe that? And thank God for IEDs. Unbelievable. And thank God for 9/11. What morons. In other words, Fred Phelps is as wrong as Jeremiah Wright. We might call him Jeremiah White. He believes the death of our soldiers is a direct judgment of God against America because America is embracing homosexuality. And almost all of his public protests include those holding posters saying God hates fags. He also conducts protests against Jews, by the way, with signs that read God hates Jews, and on ad nauseum. Ad nauseum refers to something made irksome by repetition. Phelps is an irksome bore. And now to the point. Phelps has threatened to protest the funeral of Christina, the 9-year-old little girl shot at Gifford's meeting January 8th. Oh, Christina. Phelps and his congregation issued a statement that, quote, God sent the shooter to deal with idolatrous America, end quote. Now, besides the clear distortions of Bible doctrine on the subjects of evil, God's sovereignty, and the general devastation sin has brought upon God's entire creation, and this world in particular, Mr. Phelps is assaulting free speech. I mean, it's almost as if this event is being used as a catalyst for an all-out assault on our First and Second Amendment rights from every extremist wackos on the right or the left. And now, quote, the court is expected to issue a ruling soon on, listen, whether free speech can be curbed at specific locations and events, end quote. But you gotta have sympathy for what's motivating this. My friend, it is the beginning of the end of free speech, and we have people like Phelps to thank for it. May God in heaven answer the prayer of the psalm that says, let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Pastor Phelps is such an evil speaker, and his group are a clear example of what happens when people, quote, depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, end quote. First, Phelps' doctrine is false. He is as whacked out as Jeremiah Wright ever was thought to be. He is under the influence of what the Bible refers to as seducing spirits, and his actions are based on doctrines of devils. Now, I'm going to preach a full message on this from my pulpit Sunday night at 6 p.m., but for the moment, I have to move toward a conclusion for this show. First, the Bible does not teach that everything that happens is a direct action of God. That is nonsense, and I'll show you that from the Bible Sunday night. Second, the Bible does not teach that because God is sovereign, that therefore he always gets his will or his way. For heaven's sake, man, why do you think we are praying, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? Well, it's because it's not. His will is not being done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, one day it will, thank God. But that day isn't today, and that day certainly was not January 8th when Loeffner acted contrary to the will of God and did a thing that is against God's will. Hey, ever read that bit about thou shalt not kill? Is that not a clear expression of the will of God? What happened on January 8th happened because God's will was not being done. And no amount of mental gymnastics and Houdini-like contortions of reason and scripture can get around the obvious plain fact that God did not want Loeffler to attack that peaceful assembly on January 8th. Also, this business about our soldiers being killed in battle because America embraces homosexuality, what foolishness. Hey, fella, back when America did not embrace homosexuality or kill over 1 million babies every year in state-sanctioned abortion, did not thousands upon thousands of our young men die in battles, beginning with the War for Independence? You probably have many more questions about this, and I will be answering them very, very plainly, very thoroughly in my pulpit Sunday night, 6 p.m. Be there. But to the point of this brain massage, I began the show saying that the fact that Gabriella had read the First Amendment only 2 days before she was shot while exercising the rights delineated in that wonderful amendment is irony, but not conspiracy. However, it is as if someone is coordinating an all-out assault on our freedoms in America and using this event to do it. And almost none of the players in this attack on our freedoms realize what they're doing. Some might. But probably 99% of them don't. I mean, the MSM and the liberal and their liberal cohorts are not consciously attacking freedom. I don't believe that, but what they are doing will certainly erode our freedoms. And this Phelps character is not purposing to destroy our liberty, but that is what his actions will achieve. Friend, there are devils at work. It's like the irrational Antichrist spirit that operates in these children of disobedience, motivating them to hate Christians irrationally. Where does this come from? Did you know that freedom around the world is under assault today? Despots are on the rise. Freedom is on the decline. It's interesting and disturbing how every liberal answer to a social problem involves curbing our liberty. Now listen, when in fact, listen, the answer to every social evil is to advance liberty. If we would release liberty, advance liberty, that would answer our problems. If we would strengthen liberty, not weaken it. Our problems are the consequence of leaving the principles of liberty and turning more and more to the principles of tyranny. The principles of liberty and justice for all will guide us out of this morass, back into the safe harbor of God's providential care promised to every nation that acknowledges Him. All right, I've got to go. Call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000, and let me know what you think about these things. It's a listener response hotline. When you call in, after a short introduction, you'll be offered an opportunity to leave a message. If you want me to call you back, say so and leave your number. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Gotta have more? We understand. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and massage your brain to your heart's content.